Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jacob Blanco blocks the shot in a four-goal game in the final second. That sums up the Bruins' effort.
What was the reaction when you were told you were starting game one?
It's about time. I was excited. And I think we both know that Leitis and I both could take the net at any time and help this team win. So we know that it's going to be an exciting series, and everyone on this team is going to pull their rope. So that's what we're looking forward to.
It's about time, says Jeremy Swayman, following the Bruins' 5-1 victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 1 on Saturday night at TD Garden. Game 2 is tonight, and the question remains, who will be in net for the Bruins against the Leafs tonight? That's Jones and Mego with Arcan here on WEEI. We got all your phone calls today, 617-779-7937. We're starting with the Bruins. We'll get to the Celtics, their victory yesterday. We'll get to some newsy items out of the NFL draft as well. A lot of those starting to pile up with the draft. 3 days, 5 hours, 58 minutes, 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2 seconds away. A lot of those items starting to drop in. So we'll react to the Patriots as well. All your thoughts on the phones throughout the course of the show. But that, to me, that line from Jeremy Swayman is what jumped out. Oh, what'd you think about finally getting to start a game one? You came in relief of Tuukka Rask 3 years ago. You had to replace Ullmark each of the last 2 years when the team was floundering. What'd you think of getting to start game one? Oh, it's about time.
About time.
That, to me, is what jumped out. It was about time. That's who should have started game one, and he proved why.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. He looked fantastic. So I'm the first one who will sit here and say, I'll eat my words a little bit, because I'm the one who is saying, hey, ever since All-Star break, Ullmark's proven himself as the steadier and overall better goalie, but he looked, there's really, you can nitpick a little bit, but anything that you would nitpick with Swayman in that game, the game was already locked up. Like, it was already so far in a way that you would just be acting like a little jerk. So I'm not going to do that. I think that they went with the right goalie for game one, and I don't know how you could say anything else.
Okay. I mean, I will nitpick Swayman if you want to. Like, him coming out of his net and leaving a wide-open net for Austin Matthews when it's a 1-0 game, you can question that. So I don't want to say he was perfect, but he was great. And he's dominated this team all year. And I do feel like he should start tonight in game two. And so we'll get to all your thoughts on this and whether or not we're going to continue to see a goalie rotation in any way, shape, or form. Should we see Linus Ullmark at any point? But Arcan, you're a big Swayman guy. This is what you wanted, and I don't know. This is I think, the way we wanted to see it go.
Yeah, this is the way I wanted to see it go. And it's not like I just wanted to see him game one and then have him rotate and do what they've done all season. I believe, and I've said this before the playoffs started, that if this team, these Bruins, are going to have a chance, they're going to have to ride a hot goalie. I don't think they're good enough to win the Stanley Cup just on the strength of the talent that they have. Although I'll say this, that fourth line looked real good last night, or 2 nights ago, I should say. That was a very impressive showing for them. So if they can get, you know, depth like that and 10 different guys with points, then maybe I'll eat my words too. But I think really what it's going to take is them to get a real hot goaltending performance and to ride that all the way to the end. And I think Swayman's the guy to do it. I think we've tried it with Ullmark before. It didn't work. Ullmark's not had great success in the playoffs, and Swayman, for whatever reason, keeps getting passed over. And I think that in some ways that could work in his favor. You know, I liked what he said after that game. I liked that he said it that way. I liked that he has a chip on his shoulder. I liked that he's sort of, you know, pushing back on this idea that I'm a guy that you have to rotate, or that I'm not the guy that you should go to first. It's good. I like that. I like to hear that from my goalie. So everything about that game was good to me. I hope they stick with him. I know Razor just said on the show right before us that he's thinking it might go the other way, but
Kay.
I hope that's not the case.
Okay, so Razor thinks it's Ullmark. Maybe that's informed. Maybe he's just guessing. I have no idea. Here's what I know. They know. We're going to play you some audio coming up. They're playing games. They're not telling anyone. That's fine. Gamesmanship, whatever. You cannot tell us right up until they skate out like the other night. That seemed to work. They didn't announce any goalie for game one. all of a sudden Swayman led the team out and he's a starter in game one, like he should have been. Who should, regardless of what Razor says, regardless of what happened the other night, who should start game two?
Swayman. Absolutely. But I'm going to say this. This is where I think I see the Bruins' complete conflict and why they might go with Ullmark in game two. Maybe they're feeling really confident in themselves coming off of this game, and they're looking at it and going, this could be a pretty deep cup run. Like, this could be a pretty deep run. And part of it is you haven't put Swayman in the position to see if he can recover quickly throughout an entire series, and beyond that, multiple series, if you continue writing him as the true starting goalie. You've just never put him in that position before, and so it's like quite a zag to do that in the playoffs. And so I would look at it and say, how confident are you that this is going to be a deep run? Because in that case, like the stats this year show, Swayman on one day rest, he's 3-0, but it's a very small sample size. And it's, you're looking at it and going, this could be a really big risk to take moving away from the goalie rotation, which everybody extols as the most positive strength of this team. And so I think they're really in a bind here, because if Swayman starts to fall apart in any kind of way, if the recovery, if he can't rebound, and he's a young guy, but you just haven't seen it before. So if he can't, and you turn to Ullmark, then you can't say it's a rotation if you're doing that like in the second series you're in.
Look, Swayman should start tonight. I'm surprised to hear you say that, but I agree. Swayman should start tonight. He should get game two.
I think you'd have to be an absolute lunatic to look at game one and go, no, let's go away from that.
Well, if you have a rotation.
Not if you believe in the rotation. Right, yeah. Exactly. It doesn't matter how they played. It's predetermined. You're going to the next guy. So, look, I was rooting for the shutout just to really, really, really make this an airtight debate point in my case. Swayman really couldn't have played any better. He should start tonight in game two. I have no idea if he will. Razor probably knows. Razor's saying he thinks it's Ullmark. He believes in the rotation. So make of that what you will. Here's what you're hinting at, though, Mego. The Bruins have alternated starts between Swayman and Ullmark every game since the middle of February. The last time the Bruins goalie made back-to-back starts, or a Bruins goalie made back-to-back starts, it was Swayman. He made 43 saves in a 4-3 shootout win over Dallas on February 19th. Then, 2 days later, 37 saves in a 6-5 overtime win against the Oilers. He still gave up 8 goals in those two games. That's the last time. February 17th and February 19th is the last time you got back-to-back starts. I think that streak should end. Arcand, I know you want Swayman tonight. I think if they go to the rotation, it really, really, really can put them in a bind. I don't think they're in a bind right now, to use your word. They're just playing their starting goalie like every other team. And if your starting goalie craps his pants, uh-oh, you might be in trouble. You might have to go to your backup at some point. But in the meantime, I think they're in a great spot. Stick with Swayman. There's no reason to go away from him.
Yeah, there isn't. I don't think there is. In fact, I think he bought himself an additional hypothetical bad game with that performance on Saturday. Like, what I mean by that is if he has a bad game in game two, I'd still start him game three. And if he's bad in game three, then you go to Ullmark game four. That's about where I'm at. I think that he deserves this, and he's...
That's not a ton of faith in Swayman.
Well,
even for you,
a
card-carrying Swayman guy, that's not a ton of faith in
Swayman. If he has two bad games, I said all along that the only reason I'd ever go to Ullmark is if Swayman grabbed himself. And if he does that in two straight games, then I go to Ullmark. I think that's fair. I think that's reasonable. And I think that's the better implementation of a goalie rotation. Not just you until you need to be subbed out for some reason, and then we go to the other guy, and he should be ready to go, and Ullmark should be ready to go if they need to go to him. And if not, then stick with Swayman. I think it's as simple as that.
Okay, so I think I know your answer to this, but you can vote at Jones and Mego on Twitter. You can also dial us up, 617-779-7937. Who should start game two? A lot of people have asked that question. We'll continue to ask that and work our way through it. It's a clean sweep across the board. Jeremy Swayman, even from Team Ullmark Mego over here. Jeremy Swayman in game two. So beyond just this game tonight, do you think we see both goalies in this series, Mego? That's our big question now. At Jones and Mego, you can vote yes or no. Do you think we see both goalies in this series? Do you think we should?
Yes. Yes, I do, because they've flirted with defining how they're going to be in a goalie rotation in the playoffs. And I think everyone assumes they would be the one-to-one that we've seen, as you said, since February. But they can do whatever they want. And I think if they can still maintain some kind of semblance of a rotation, even if it's not an equal rotation, that's kind of like a safety valve for them to have moving forward in the playoffs. If they feel like they're going somewhere real in the playoffs, not just getting past round one, getting past round two, and, you know, having a much deeper run, I think it's kind of smart to just keep the option there. I don't know. Maybe that's me hedging it and being like, I think these guys are pretty equal in a lot of ways. Statistically, they're almost completely equal.
Yeah.
And you hear the hockey hardo say that this is what makes this team great is having two goalies. And so I think you're going to put yourself in a tough situation if something bad happens with Swayman, he falls apart, something like that. And then you're basically in the reverse of where you were last year, where Ullmark comes in rusty, hasn't played in any of these games.
Yeah, I'm not worried about rotating through and making switches and keeping guys fresh. You don't play back-to-back days. They have three games off. It's like the NBA. They have three games off in between games three and four, right? They play in Toronto on Wednesday night, game three, and then they have 3 days off. They play again Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night. It's spaced out. You should be rested. If Swayman's playing well, he should continue to roll out there. And no, I don't think we should see both goalies in this series unless one craps his pants. And to me, it's about that. It's about Swayman and his performance, or whoever plays in game two tonight, and their performance more so than the result. I think we all agree with that. Like, if they lose 1-0, he gives up one goal, they lose in overtime or something like that. He gives up a third period goal. He plays great, but they lose. I'm not sitting him down. It's about his individual performance. But no, I don't think we should see both goalies in this series. I don't want to see both goalies in this series because as equal as they've been on balance this year and as good as Ullmark has been since the All-Star break, I don't trust him. I don't. I don't know if I can trust Swayman, but I'm going to go forward with him because, as he said, it's about time and I've never seen it. I don't know if I can trust Swayman. I feel like I know I can't trust Ullmark, which is why I don't need to see him at all in this series or at any point in this postseason run.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And Swayman's Tim Thomas, and we're going to stick with him no matter what. And even if he has a bad game, which he did have a couple of bad games in that run, by the way, back in 2011, you go to the other guy. I'm not saying that. I will go to Ullmark if I feel like it's necessary, because you're right. This is the first time Swayman's been in this position. And, you know, he did come into that series last year, and he wasn't great. It was in relief, and it wasn't the way I wanted to use him. But I do think that he deserves this. I do think he deserves an opportunity to show that he can be a number one guy throughout the playoffs and a goalie that you can lean on. And I do think that in some ways, going away from what worked in the regular season can be looked at as a negative or something that you're doing that's going to hurt the team. But I also think that historically, how often do you see a team ride a goalie rotation all the way to the Stanley Cup final? You just don't see it very often.
Doesn't happen.
You see one goalie do it, and that's what happened with the Bruins when they did it, and that's what I think is going to have to happen with this team.
Yeah, you've seen goalies get rotated in and out based on poor performance, but it wasn't a pure rotation, right? Like Colorado won a couple of years ago. Guys got hot. They sat them down. They brought guys back in. So Colorado's an example. I feel like one of those Pittsburgh runs, they had that too, where it was like Fleury was in and out. Who was the kid they had that Murray? Was it Murray? Was that his name? I feel like Pittsburgh kind of went back and forth, but it wasn't a rotation. It wasn't you get this game, that guy gets that game. It was just back and forth ping-ponging around on a guy who looked like he had lost his confidence or lost his way. So here's Montgomery giving an update today.
Matt Murray. That was the guy.
That was who it was?
Matt Murray.
And so
Fleury.
I thought him and Fleury went back and forth. Maybe I have that wrong. But like those are two examples of at least using multiple goaltenders to win a cup, but it wasn't a planned rotation. If you have other examples, please let me know. But in the meantime, here's Montgomery giving an update earlier today and a little bit of a hint, Mego, on who's going to be in net.
Would you like to let us know what the goaltending plan is for you two?
It's funny you ask. You know, like, I don't like keeping you guys in the dark.
No.
Do any of you play Wordle?
Yes. Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, the starting goalie tonight has two vowels in his first and last name.
Oh.
So who's that? Now I got to think about this now. So who's that?
Are we saying sometimes why?
It's a good question. Arcan brought this up before the show.
Yeah. In Canada, is sometimes why a thing?
Yeah.
In Canada?
What's the Canadian alphabet?
I don't know.
X, Y, Z.
A.
You guys are dorks.
It's the only vowel in Canada.
Sometimes A.
A E I O U. Sometimes A. That's their alphabet. So I don't like that they're playing games like this. It's like, ooh, let me give them a good zinger that I thought up today.
It's so cute.
Right. I don't mind the gamesmanship. The gamesmanship is fine. But like the stupid planned out rehearsed jokes that he's carting up there to the media, that I don't like.
He was so excited, too. He was like, ooh, oh, well, good question. I don't love this.
The only person I know who still plays Wordle is Arcan.
I still play Wordle.
You know what? That I don't. I've never played.
I've never played it either. I
don't. Danny, you play Wordle?
No.
Yes.
You do?
I don't play that. I don't play the Immaculate Grids. I don't do any of that. I don't need to play
that. I've fallen off of the Immaculate Grids, but I still play Wordle.
Arcan used to be like a three-sport Immaculate Grid guy. He was doing like every sport each and every day. So I don't like that.
Hockey one's tough.
I do read into him saying, I don't like to keep you guys in the dark. Because I do generally think, over the course of the regular season, pretty straight shooter, right? He's going to let you know. And that tells me something that I already knew, but it reaffirms. It's not just Montgomery's call. And it's goalie Bob over here and Don Sweeney over there. And don't forget about Cam Neely. And what do the players like Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak think? And so, to me, that's just a little acknowledgement that it's not just his call. And I think we knew that. We've known that with other coaches, Cassidy for sure, maybe Claude as well. But him saying, I don't like to keep you guys in the dark, he probably wants to tell everybody. He probably wants to make an announcement. He wants to let them know. And they have obviously made a decision. I like that people play it out like, oh, they don't know.
Okay, the starting goalie tonight has two fouls in his first and last name.
Oh, they're just going to skate out there. And everybody's going to find out at the same time. And Marchand's going to skate out behind him and be like, oh. Like, of course they know. But I think he wants to announce it and he can't because it's not his call. It's that Montgomery has no say over this, which I think is a borderline dysfunctional way they decide the goalie, but that's the way they've been doing it for a while.
Well, I also wonder, okay, so I know that they put up this at least public front of the goalies are best friends and they have the goalie hug and now the wives and girlfriend or two wives, I'm sorry, I don't know what their marital status is, are doing the goalie hug like on Instagram and it's all great and there's never been a partnership like this between two goalies. But behind closed doors, we are talking about Linus Ullmark, who is somebody who refused to trade at the deadline. Like, hasn't been on the best terms with the Bruins brass going back to the NHL awards last year when he wouldn't hug Cam Neely. Like, there's a little bit of awkwardness there. I'm not saying it's coming from the coach, but when you have all these different people involved in this decision, and Ullmark has had a clear demotion from the playoffs last year. Like, what is the communication behind closed doors about what the rotation is going to be and how it's going to be presented and how it's going to look? Because if I get demoted and my coach is up there, like, joking about Wordle and everything, I'm probably like, well, I kind of hate this.
Yeah, I mean, look, I never bought that they're like, oh, I don't care who starts. Like, maybe they're friendly. Oh, I don't care who starts. We're best friends. It doesn't matter who starts. That's nonsense. Swayman wants to start. It's about time, he said. What does that mean? He wanted to be starting over Ullmark. Duh. That's obvious. Of course he wants to start. He's a competitor. He's a professional athlete. Of course he wants to start. So this idea that they don't care is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Oh, they don't care who starts. Oh, they want the other guy to start. They don't even care about starting. Stupid. They both want to start. What Mego just said, Arcan, should they hold that against Ullmark?
No. I mean, not in the sense that he's been someone who you can walk all over. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that that's like an issue for him. I don't think that that really makes that much of a difference. I think that when it comes to Swayman, he's one that he also had a little bit of that with the team too at arbitration. I mean, he had a little bit of back and forth with them too. So if there's anything that you could hold against Ullmark, you could probably say the same about Swayman. I just think that, you know, Swayman's been a little bit more proactive about it. And I like that. I think that's something that you don't necessarily hold it against Ullmark, but that I'd put as a check in Swayman's side there.
So who should start tonight in game two? You can jump in on the phone, 617-779-7937. You can also vote in our big question of the day. Should we see both goalies in this series, whether it's tonight or later on? Yes, you want both Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman to play this series, or no? You'd like them to just stick with Swayman. I'm a no. Mego thinks we're going to see both goalies in this series. Arcan, you think we're going to see both?
No, I don't think so. I think Swayman's going to shut.
But if he sucks, you're going to see some Ullmark.
Yeah, I think so, but okay. I don't think he's going to suck.
62% agree with Mego. They want to see both goalies in this series.
62% agree with Mego?
62%.
Oh, my God.
Because they didn't do it last year, the rotation in the playoffs. They continued to do it in the regular season all year. It's what people want.
Okay, but people misunderstand. They're like, oh, well, they lost because they didn't do the rotation.
That's what they think.
No, they lost because they started the wrong goalie. That's why they lost. They started the bum-ass goalie. If they would have started the right goalie.
He was the Vezina winner.
Yeah, they shouldn't have started him. They should have gone with the kid who I think can handle the postseason, or at least I think there's a chance he can handle the postseason, unlike Allmark, who craps his pants, and he's now done it twice in a row. They started the wrong guy, or at bare minimum, they stuck with the wrong guy for too long, if that's more palatable.
That's fine. I think that the big mistake was going with Allmark after he hurt himself in that game that we were at on Mego's birthday, which is, I think, really was the beginning of that. You know, like, that was sort of the issue. I probably would have gone with Allmark, too, if he hadn't hurt himself, just because he had such a great season. But he hurt himself. He had an injury, and they still went with him over Swayman.
They shouldn't have
that.
Stuck with him. So the reason they lost wasn't they got away from the rotation. They stuck with Allmark for too long, or they went with the wrong goalie in the first place. Montgomery after the game, following game one, where Swayman was tremendous. And Allmark's credit, he was great after one game last year, too. He was great against Florida in game one. I had forgotten that. He was brutal to start the Carolina series 2 years ago. He did not have a good series last year against Florida, but I had forgotten he was very good in game one. So, you know, maybe Swayman will come crashing down to earth tonight if he gets the start again. Why did Jim Montgomery and the Bruins go with Jeremy Swayman in game one? Here's what he said after the game.
We were just, you know, felt that, you know, Swayman hadn't had the opportunity to start a series before in the last couple of years. And we want to see him start a series, see how we'd handle it. And he did really well.
Okay.
To answer the second part of the question, I haven't thought that far ahead.
Yeah, he hasn't thought that far ahead. It's a goalie with two vowels, including Arcan, the Canadian vowel. So he wanted to see him start a series. What do you want to see him start a series for unless you're going to roll with him for a little bit? See how he handles it? If you're just going with a rotation, why would he answer it that way is my question.
I really don't know. I can't think of any other reason other than, hey, maybe we'll manufacture some kind of fake rotation, or we'll just ride this out. We'll just see. We'll give him the opportunity. Like, I don't, otherwise, what difference does it make?
Well, I mean, it's a rotation. Like, in a pitching rotation, you put the best pitcher first. You know, like, that does make sense.
Yeah, but what do you want
level.
To see him handle? If he's not going to keep, if you're not going to keep riding him, what do you need to see him handle? It's just you're going to play one guy and then you're going to play the next. What do you need? How do you need, or what do you need to see him respond for and how he's going to handle?
Maybe the rotation goes every two games. You know, maybe they change, maybe they tweak it a little bit because it's a playoff series and it's not the same as the regular season. I don't know. I mean, I just hope they abandon the entire thing completely. But if they insist on it, then, you know, going every other game is just, you know, that's something you do in like Squirts League or something. That's like peewee hockey. You don't do that in the NHL, I don't think, especially when one guy's hot.
They haven't. Maybe this will be the team that ultimately shatters the mold. You can vote in our big question of the day. Will we see both goalies in this series? Who should start in game two? 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback on this. As I said, we won't be Bruins all day long. We'll get to the Celtics, their victory yesterday. Did Miami send them a message late in that game? We'll also get to the latest rumors from the Patriots. Leading up to the draft, there's a lot of those. Plus, we have Triple Play at 445, Megsplaining at 530, and Bet Roulette. Picks for tonight at 5:45. Arcam, with all the latest in trending, we'll get to your thoughts on who should start tonight in net for the Bruins. And also, is this team now capable of going on a run? They dominated Toronto the other night. Let's take a look at that right after trending.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Say W-E-E-I is a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more of Jones and Mego
on W-E-E-I.
Jake, for you, how good did it feel to kind of reset for the playoffs and then get started like this in game one?
DeBrusque, he shoots and scores! Jake DeBrusque with the multi-point game to give Boston a 3-0 lead.
You know, I think that obviously didn't like my season. It was pretty disappointing for myself. But at this point in time of the year, we have a chance to go for the ultimate goal, and that's all that really matters. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where obviously it went well tonight. You know, it's exactly what I wanted to do in that sense, but you know, playing against these guys before, I know it's going to be a long series, and that you got to keep that going. Obviously, can't keep can't keep production going the same way. But you know, I think it's just a matter of playing the right way, and obviously reading off, you know, Marshy and CeCe, and definitely nice to capitalize, gets the confidence up. But this time of year is all about staying even keeled, to be honest with you.
Big game for Jake DeBrusk. Couple of goals and an assist. Mego, you wanted to trade DeBrusk, didn't you?
Just, I wanted to think about it. I think it's fair.
Look, I wanted to trade DeBrusk. He's playing well against Toronto, big deal. We've seen him do that before and then evaporate in the postseason. So I'd give DeBrusk credit for coming to play in game one. Their power play was great. He was great. And so I'll give him all the credit in the world, again, for playing well. But I've seen this against Toronto, and then I've seen guys disappear. I've seen Pastrnak, who was largely invisible in game one. I've seen him go nuclear against Toronto and then disappear against teams like, you know, the St. Louis Blues or someone like that. So I've seen this before. And Arcan, I'm not buying in on DeBrusk. He might give you a good series, but I expect the Bruins to advance past Toronto no matter what.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that, you know, DeBrusk played well, and he could certainly be a contributor in this run here. I think he's going to have to be if that's what we're counting on. I don't know that the fourth line and Johnny Beecher, who I loved. I mean, he was flying around last night, and I loved that early goal. But I don't anticipate the fourth line is going to be doing that this entire time. So you're going to have to lean on guys like Jake DeBrusk. You're going to have to lean on, you know, guys like Charlie Coyle and Trent Frederick and some of these other guys here who I think are very capable of this. And listen, you saw some real depth last night. You saw 10 different Bruins point. Like, that's really encouraging to me to see that against a Maple Leafs team who is really, historically anyway, has a lot to prove against the Bruins. And you saw it right away. I mean, look at Domi right off the rip trying to go after Marchand. He breaks his stick on Marchand. He's punching the McAvoy in the back of the head. You got Reeves in there too, who's a troublemaker, obviously. And those Maple Leafs, I mean, they were really going for it. And the Bruins, I think, have a lot to sort of stand up to. And so far, they've done a great job.
Okay, a couple of texts here, 37937. You guys all know the number. Guys, rotation. Bruins have been doing it all year. We got a lot of these, Arcan.
Don't care.
Have you actually watched every game? I have. Every other is perfect. Guys, Allmark starting the night. You just gave proof. The last time Swayman played two in a row, he gave up five goals in the second game. Look, he won both those games, by the way. It was Dallas and Edmonton. So just because they tried it once in February and then were afraid and ran away from it doesn't mean they should do it again. But I'll acknowledge Swayman wasn't as good in the second game back in February. We also have text saying ride Swayman until he loses. Rotating goalies after Swayman played so well only creates drama. I do agree with that. So let's play this out. You sit Swayman after he dominates game one. Allmark comes in. He plays okay, but they lose. You know, he doesn't get shelled. He doesn't get pantsed, but they lose 3-2, 4-3, something like that. He's not as good as Swayman. And now what? You lost a game because you decided to stick with your dumb rotation? I agree. That only creates drama.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it. Everybody, down to the mite level, understand sticking with the hot hand in net. They all get it. They would understand that. No one would fault you for doing it, especially when the team tried to trade Omar a couple of months ago. Omar coming in, playing so-so, and losing tonight, that's going to invite a lot of second-guessing.
Yeah, too much, I think, and it's not worth it. I don't think it's worth the amount of second-guessing that could happen. I don't think it's worth disrupting what is already. And listen, I understand that Jeremy Swayman has not, in the one time he did it this year, been good in back-to-back games. He's been awesome against Toronto. That's what I care more about than I care about back-to-back games. There's a break between the games, as you said, Jones, and you're right about that. There's a day off. There's 3 days off before game three. You're fine. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, he played them on March 2nd and then on March 7th, I think, was when they played those two games. And Swayman played both of them. He was awesome in both of them. He was awesome in the game they played back in January, whenever it was. And I just don't see any reason that you shouldn't exploit this matchup. You should exploit it to the very end. Maybe you want to do it in the next round? Fine. See who the opponent in the next round is, and we can reconvene and discuss it again then. I'm still going to be on Team Swayman, especially if he kills it the rest of this series, which I think he's going to do. But you want to talk about it again, then fine. Right now, exploit the matchup, and you have a great matchup here. Swayman's great against Toronto.
617-779-7937. We'll get to your Bruins calls in a moment. We also have a good rumor from Diana Rossini that we'll get to later on this hour about the Patriots and the draft. Plus, we have some Celtics thoughts coming up at 3. So if you want to talk Bruins, now is your time to do it. Let's go.
Jets just got a little bit better, too.
Did they, though?
Yeah. By trading Zach Wilson.
Did they, though?
Addition by subtraction.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Jets. I misheard what you said. I thought you said the Broncos got better. The Jets
did
get
better. No, the Jets
got better. That's true. Have we said this on the air yet? This wasn't in trending, right?
It was not. No, it happened right after that.
The Jets just traded Zach Wilson for what?
For a pick swap, basically.
What were the picks?
To the Broncos. Seventh for a sixth.
Okay, so not even. Yeah. I was going to say, they didn't get more than Mac Jones, did they?
It's a good question. Let me see. I don't think so. I think it's so. The deal includes a late round pick swap, a sixth for their seventh, and the Giants and the Jets will pay some of Wilson's salary. So, yeah. No, there's a seventh, so it's not exactly the same.
We'll dig in on that.
Mac went for a sixth.
In the meantime, the Jets did get a little bit better. The Broncos probably got worse. Greg is in Western Mass. Go ahead, Greg.
What's going on, guys? Just want to talk about the debate with the Swayman and Olmark stuff. First of all, the only reason you'd go to Olmark is because of the rotation and everyone's stuck in their ways with it. But number one, the guy wants the net. You want a goalie who wants the net, and he wants it. Number two, let's talk about where this team is and what they were supposed to be. They're not supposed to be in a position to make a cup run this year, and he's your future goalie. You got to give him the run this year and see what happens. Olmark could be a trade piece. You get rid of him. Swayman's your future goalie. From there, you just see what happens. But until he poops the bed, sorry, guys.
Well, no,
you know,
I mean,
that was a good call. I agreed with everything.
I do agree with that as well. That's true.
Yes. But how is Olmark going to be a trade piece when you try to trade him at the deadline and he has the no trade clause with like half the teams in the league?
I have an idea. Sit his ass down.
Well,
so
maybe
he
that's
wants
what
out.
They're doing.
Sit his ass down. Stop playing him every other game, and maybe he won't reject your
Wouldn't
trade next time you try
nice
to trade him.
For them to like try that in the regular season
yes.
before they get to the playoffs.
Yes.
Because now you're sitting here and everybody is expecting the rotation.
This baby wanted to stay here even if he was backing up instead of playing in the postseason. Don't let him play. Don't let him play until Swayman plays his way out of a job. That's another reason to do it. But 62% of you disagree. It's our big question of the day. Up now at Jones and Mego. Should we see both goalies in this series, either beginning tonight or later on? Again, 62% say yes. A couple of texts, 37937. Jones, they lost because Patrice Bergeron came back. The take was right there. Darn it! I leaned in on the goalie. I lost track of the real win there. Good point. Also, Mogan Lemelin rotated. They rotated every single game all the way to the cup. They didn't win. But they did that all the way to the cup against Edmonton. Is that right?
I'll check on that.
I'm a little young for that. But again, they did not bring home the cup that year. That I know.
They did not.
617-779-7937. You could jump in on all this. Before we get to who's circling the drain and leading the league, is this team capable of going on a run? Like, am I overreacting after one game to saying, hey, you know what? They could go on a run. Maroon's throwing people through the bench.
You're telling me.
They score five goals.
The guy who predicted a 116-win season from the Red Sox based off opening day might be overreacting to game one of these Bruins playoffs?
I'm just going to tell you, a lot of people are like, no one expected the Bruins to do where they were this year, replicate what they did, go on a bit of a run in the postseason. That's not true. I said they'd go further this year than they went last year. And I've been saying that since the second Bergeron retired. So I am not surprised, and I do think they're capable of going on a run.
So I said that a couple days ago that they need to get past the second round, that they need to win two series. It's not just about surviving the first round and doing a little bit better than you did last year for who you were for most of the season. Not always, but most of the season. I think two series is reasonable. I think that that's like a reasonable bar to set for the team.
Okay. And look, they're getting out of this round. They're not losing to Toronto, especially after what we saw the other night. They're not losing.
They could have won that game like 8-1, too.
Well, yeah, they could have. I mean, look.
So many posts.
Look, again, I mean, Swayman leaving the net, that's a completely different game. Like, they tacked on a second goal shortly after that. If Austin Matthews doesn't hit the post, we're probably ripping Swayman and looking at the game a lot differently. But the way that went, they should not lose to this team, please. It's time now for our weekly look at who's circling the drain and leading the league. Presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Who's leading the league, Arcan?
The city of Boston, Adam Jones and Megan Ottolini. An undefeated weekend for all the Boston teams. How about that? The Red Sox sweep the Pirates.
That's true. The Fun Sox are back.
I didn't expect much from them in that series, especially after losing, 3 out of 4 to Cleveland. I thought they're going to get smoked by Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's now in a world of trouble. They've been swept twice. But the Red Sox handled their business, even by losing Tristan Cassis, which sucks. But also the Bruins and the Celtics off to great starts in their series. So a win overall on the weekend for the city of Boston.
Okay, good one. Mego, who or what is circling the drain?
Circling the drain is the Miami Heat, the zombie Miami Heat. Is it totally unfair to put this on them after one game? I guess not, if you're saying that the Bruins are basically going back to the Stanley Cup Finals after one game that they've played. But that game was so incredibly uncompetitive. The Celtics led the entire game by as much as 34 points. I don't even buy back like the little 18-2 run that the Heat went on towards the end of the game. The Celtics just got bored, just started messing around. I mean, this is such a lopsided series. I just want them to flush them down the drain so that we can get through it, Celtics in four, and get on to a real series for this game.
Yeah, I agree. They should not lose a game in this series. I feel that way. They should sweep Miami. Without Jimmy Butler? With Jimmy Butler, this would be a seven-game series. You better believe it. Ryan's laughing in the other room. But with Jimmy Butler, it's a series, and it's a nightmare. Without him, they're lost. So that's who's leading the league and circling the drain, presented by Drains by James. We do it every Monday here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. I just did the math, by the way. Red Sox back on pace for 106 wins.
All right.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Bruins. What should they do in net tonight for Game 2? Swayman or Ullmark? We got to get to the latest on the Patriots. Juicy rumor from Diana Russini. We'll get to that next.
We are back to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
From what I understand, they know what they're doing. That they have, it's not that difficult. I mean, because you know Caleb Williams is going one, and now it's just a process right. of elimination where you're just like, you know, I think they're, you know, it might not completely be done because, you know, they just got done with 30 visits and, you know, now they put Penix on the, you brought him in as well. But, you know, they just had, you know, Daniels and McCarthy in recently. They had May in. So now probably in the past couple days or in the next couple days, you know, they formally, you know, do it. But I think in terms of, do I think Elliot Wolf knows what he's going to do or what he wants to do at three? Yeah, I think he knows.
Interesting. It's Greg Bedard. On his podcast, decision basically done for the Pats. That echoes what Tommy Curran and Mike Reese have written over the last week or so. Reese wrote it yesterday. Curran told us as much last week as well. There's a new rumor out there from Diana Russini that contradicts it. So what do we make of it? We can get into that here on Jones and Arcand. No more Mego. If you were watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, you saw Mego beeline out of here. I don't know if it was a bad Mountain Dew, Arcand.
Mm.
But Mego had to excuse herself for the rest of the program.
Yes. Mego, game misconduct, if you will. She's in the room. She's getting looked at. But we're not going to see her at all again for the rest of the game.
So the happiest person, the Ryan, you realize the happiest person right now is Arcand.
Is it Arcand?
Arcand now has ammunition. Next time Mego lectures him about missing a show, leaving a show.
I mean, she was here. She tried. She gave it two strong segments. Arcand, would you have tried?
Arcand, is this future ammunition?
Yes, definitely.
I would use it as
I've never left in the middle of a show. It's very different.
You can't leave to a place that you didn't show up in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know what that was. We got to check the expiration date on those Mountain Dews. Scal tried to warn her about it. I mean, Scal tried to warn her about all these sodas and Mountain Dews that she's huffing. Yeah, you can't be doing that.
Got it. Interesting. All right. Well, good luck to you with all that.
Weird how mainlining Mountain Dew eventually caught up with her digestive system.
Scal, say it again. What'd you say to Mego there?
Got it. Interesting. All right. Well, good luck to you with all that.
I mean, he tried to warn her. Man tried to warn her. Huff those Mountain Dews. It's going to catch back up to you. And so Mego out for the rest of the day. It's Jones and Arcand. Here on WEEI. We'll get to
know if that's going on.
Yeah, I don't.
I didn't ask.
Well, she volunteered a little info. I didn't hear anything about that, but I don't. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't want to, you know, fart and tell. I don't know. 617-779-7937. You can weigh in here on the phones. You can also text us. 37937 is a lot of you are.
By the way, fart and tell coming up at 4:30.
Yeah, what are we going to do instead of explaining?
Oh, good call.
Fart and tell.
Fart and tell at 5:30.
Whatever time we do it.
Okay, meanwhile, Diana Russini says the Patriots are listening and taking calls from teams looking to move into number three. That's what Mego just did in the bathroom. While GM Elliot Wolf is running point, I'm told Patriots president Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved in the decision-making.
Interesting.
Like, I feel like that tweet, by the way, is all over the map. The Pats are listening and taking calls from teams looking to move into number three. Is that really news?
No.
I feel like we know they've been doing that.
We've been hearing that from other people, yeah.
Elliot Wolf is running point, but I'm told Patriots president Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved in the decision-making.
Hmm.
So, to translate, and I felt this way for a while, Elliot Wolf can listen to all the trades he wants to, but ownership is making the call at three. I've been telling you that for weeks, months. I feel even stronger after hearing that rumor. I don't think the Patriots are trading out. And I'll give you my reasons why, Arkham, but give me your reaction to that tweet from Russini.
The immediate reaction to it is I remember, and I don't know if we have this sound. I just thought of it as you were reading this, and I should have thought of it earlier. But I thought there was a time when Gerard Mayo said that Jonathan Kraft and ownership is not going to have anything to do with any of this stuff, and that it's just going to be all the people who are there, and it's not going to be ownership and their heavy hand sort of dictating what to do or having a big presence in these sort of proceedings. So that flies in the face of what Mayo was saying there, and I'll try and find the actual quote. I don't remember exactly when he said it, but I do remember him saying something like that.
It sounds vaguely familiar. I don't remember off the top of my head specifically.
So
either,
that
yeah.
sort of right away, I start thinking, okay, well, maybe there was a company line, and the company line is, hey, we really believe in all our people, and we're just going to go with what they say. And maybe somewhere down the road, with all of the mixed messaging and the fact that it seems like there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, maybe ownership said, you know what, we need to put our foot down here. We need to get these guys in line, and we need to get this quarterback, or whatever it is they want to do, instead of everybody having an opinion and all these different people pulling in different directions. We need to say something here. So I think that may be what happened.
Yeah, look, I think Elliott Wolff can field all the calls he wants, and they're not going to trade the pick because ownership is going to make the pick. And if you've been listening to me, you know my feeling on that. And I think you got some information over the weekend from Mike Reese. Now, remember, Curran's been telling us they need a historic return. It's got to be 4 first-rounders, more than the 3 they got, more than the 3 that moved in the San Francisco trade a couple of years ago to move up and get Trey Lance. Okay, so Curran has said that. And on top of that, we have Reese writing the following. Unless you have, do you have something here, Ryan?
Were
you
yes, this in? Is the audio. Gerard Mayo, oh, okay. The coach's breakfast, I think it was. And here's what he had to say.
Okay.
Gerard, we're close.
Sorry, buddy. What's ownership's role in picking the quarterback? You mentioned that they would have input. Elliott, yourself, coaching staff.
Yeah, you know, honestly, once again, just how I, honestly, you know, just how you know, I hired Elliott, or we hired Elliott. It's the same thing. They don't want to be involved in football decisions,
right.
But they have given us the tools to go out there and get the guys that we want. They've given us the backing or the confidence to go out there and be aggressive.
Not true.
If we are convicted on a player, but at the end of the day, like, they don't want to be involved with football decisions.
Okay.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Yeah, no. If they went out, by the way, and signed no free agents.
Right.
Yeah. They signed exactly no real free agents of consequence outside of their own guys that they brought back. And I'm supposed to believe that. Okay, fine. Ownership isn't involved. If you want to believe that, go right ahead. I can't help you if you want to believe that reality. Ownership's involved. Here's what Reese wrote over the weekend. Elliott Wolff said late last week the team is quote-unquote open for business at pick number 3, and they'll listen to trade offers. But don't mistake that declaration for a lack of conviction with how he and the top decision makers view the favorable position they have at the top of the draft. This is a franchise-altering opportunity. We've heard Kraft use similar language. And as Wolf and first-year head coach Gerard Mayo previously said, the only way they're moving down is if another team offers an unprecedented deal. Leaving the door open for the possibility is good business more than anything else. Why close it before it's necessary to do so? The most likely scenario, per sources, remains that the Patriots will stay at number 3 and select either Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy. And again, that's 5 hours, 6 minutes, and, well, now 5 minutes, 58 seconds, 57 seconds, 56 seconds away.
Wow, 3 days.
Simply
remember when that
put,
stupid thing said like 51 days?
No, I definitely do. Now it's finally become quite useful.
What's going to happen to it?
I don't know. We're going to go to a different countdown. Simply put, as one Patriot source said last week, you can't win without a quarterback. Duh. Barring an unexpected blockbuster trade offer, according to sources, the Patriots will move forward with a plan that has been months in the works, getting a quarterback. Reese writes that. To me, it's a done deal. Curran's basically said as much, too. They'll move if they get a historic Godfather bag trade offer. They're not going to get it. They haven't gotten it yet. They're not going to get it. They're staying and picking a quarterback. It'll be one of Daniels, May, or McCarthy. I'd be fine with the first two. I would hate the last one, but I do believe that.
Yeah, I think that's about where we're at. The only thing that could possibly sway me away from it is if the Giants really go crazy, because they're still in the top 10. You know, like, if you can move from 3 to 6, I feel like that's something that even Jonathan Kraft, as much as he wants one of those quarterbacks, or, you know, Robin Glazer, whoever it is that's actually going to make this freaking pick, are going to be like, you know what, 6, that's still pretty good. You're going to get this, this, and this. We'll have another shot at it next year if it doesn't work. I could see that maybe being persuasive, but I think the Giants are the only team that could really do that.
Maybe. I don't think they're moving it because ownership is involved. Diana Rossini just told us, Jonathan Kraft, Elliott Wolff can run all the point he wants. It's up to the owners at pick number 3, which I don't need reporting to tell me that, by the way. I just, you know that. That's how teams draft at the top. The Patriots are no different. Ownership is going to be heavily involved with the pick at number one for Chicago. Ownership is going to be heavily involved with Washington at pick two. This is how it works. The Patriots are no different. 617-779-7937. What do we make of that report? Are the Patriots moving back? Who's making the pick? You can jump in here on Jones and Arcan. No Mego today. Taking your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your thoughts on who should start in net for the Bruins tonight. We'll also get to the Celtics. Did Miami send him a wake-up call in game one? Let's get to that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.